time it? Do you know how to rhyme it? Oh, please just rhyme it.
Then he really gets into it.
Do you know how to rhyme it? We will be rocking in LA, so let's rhyme it today. Just rhyme it.
Yes.
We are going to rhyme it. Just
yeah, rhyme
that's
it.
Where he just rammed it.
Everybody rhyme it. We'll be rocking in LA. Say hello to the Rams today and ram it.
I mean, now he's like on his feet.
Ram it.
Wow.
Ram it.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to Rams Brothers the Pod. I'm your host, Dean, and I'm joined by the other host of this show, Nick. And Nick, first time we're on camera. Lots happened so far this summer, right, as we're transitioning from the spring OTAs and mini camps and an open practice. Nick, how are you? I know we just recently had a trip to SoFi, and you're out there in LA. So tell us how you are.
I'm doing good. Yeah. Things are good right now in California. Good. I'm holding down the fort for us out here. Yeah, SoFi was so fun. Maybe that's why it's called SoFi, because it's so fun.
It was the architecture was unbelievable. I think it was breathtaking, I think was the best way to describe it. If you have a chance, go do that stadium tour. $50, all VIP access. You go run on the field, the whole, you have 50 yards to yourself, pretty much. You can kick field goals and
free play.
Free play, they called it. Yeah, you could throw into those tunnels as well and run through the tunnel and go into locker rooms. But that 50-yard line free play, just throwing each other bombs, was, the highlight of the whole trip.
Yeah, if you go, try to get Luke as your tour guide. Luke was great. Yeah, it was just so much fun. Just throwing dimes to Dean, him catching all of them. Our cousin tore his hamstring.
He tore it really bad.
He like legitimately did. And he's like, oh, it's Dean's fault. He overthrew me.
Yeah, it's his fault because he's slow. I'm used to throwing to fast receivers. That's the problem.
Me, yeah.
Yeah, you.
Yeah, but yeah. I was playing CB, and he's getting nothing up in there.
Yeah, it's a little finger wag. I was impressed by your Marcus Peters impression there.
Yeah, yeah.
Why don't you tell us who this episode is brought to you by? Because we have a new sponsor.
Right. So our sponsorship with Disney, longtime fans of the show would know that Disney was sponsoring us, but we said a couple too many cuss words and they dropped the sponsorship. So now we have a age-appropriate sponsor. The episode is brought to you by Manscaped, introducing the new Lawnmower 4.0 we have. You heard that right. Manscaped released their fourth generation trimmer on May 6th. And it makes the trimmer different than other trimmers. It's fully functioning. Gives you the ability to turn on 4000K LED spotlight, so you know exactly where you want to shave. It's a nice little tool. Yeah, you know, Manscaped, thank you for the sponsorship. It's
yeah, nice
to be doing this for this long and to now actually have a legitimate sponsorship. No offense to Disney, but I am much happier now than I was when I had Disney as my sponsorship. McVay.
Well, wow. Now you can do whatever you want, right? The ball's in your court. But it's the Manscaped, the Lawnmower 4.0, it is a sleek two-tone matte and gloss finish. And even the features, it features a hot foil stamped black chrome Manscaped logo.
My God.
What else could you ask for?
So
check out Manscaped when you have a chance. We're going to transition over to notes from minicamp and open practice. And obviously this week marks the final week of minicamp before the team breaks for the summer, which is a very short summer, only about 6 weeks. But because they must report to training camp in late July, it's a pretty short summer. So they had voluntary OTAs and now 3-day span of mandatory, quote unquote, minicamp. We're going to go through this week's quote unquote mandatory minicamp. But first, let's take a look at the headline that took Rams Twitter and all social media and all Rams fans by storm. Got everybody fired up. Headline from The Athletic, and it states Rams Sean McVay. Damn right, I am in a better mood with Matthew Stafford. Nick, that probably grinds your gears. What was your first reaction after you saw that?
I mean, so his whole aura, his whole vibe now is like, oh, I got a guy that I can actually, you know, do what I want to do with whatever. So you're like, he's essentially out here saying, hey, we're going to the NFC Championship. Because like, if that's what you got to be promising at this point, if you're like so confident like, oh my God, this guy's leagues better than the guy that actually took us to a Super Bowl. So it's like, okay, well then take us to a Super Bowl, Matt Stafford. Like, I'm not head over heels with the whole thing yet, as everybody knows. Let's watch them before we cast any real judgment. But yeah, it's just the ego on this guy, on McVay, is just it's growing, and it's becoming a it's like an apple just expanding, and if it expands too much, it's just going to burst. I mean, I could have said a balloon, but I chose an apple. Little community reference there for everybody.
You could tell that that Sean McVay's just elevation of being able to coach is really starting to shine, right? Him being able to utilize Matthew Stafford in a way that helps him become a better coach, right? Utilizing Matthew Stafford's 11 years of experience, trying to, be able to see the different things on the field and different things pre-snap and be able to read different things at the line of scrimmage and with defensive backs, I think has Sean McVay really excited. So when you kind of
Does it have you excited?
Absolutely. You have to be kidding me. I'll get into how excited I am about this offense. But when you just kind of look at the quote on the surface, it looks bad. And Sean McVay came out obviously and said it by no means is a slight towards Jared Goff. But at the same time, I think he's excited because fans are back in the building. Things are starting to become normal again. I think he's in a position, even if you were to interchange Matthew Stafford and Jared Goff at this very point in time, where he's going to have a really successful offense, right? I think you could do this without Matthew Stafford with the amount of weapons that they have, some of the draft picks they've hit on recently. So I don't know. I think that's an argument that you could possibly make, but it's going to be a long 3.5 months, Nick, of us kind of waiting and seeing, what kind of progression, we can get out of training camp. And then not only that, but, where is Matthew Stafford going to be in week 1 versus week 8 and week 16 and in the playoffs, right? So there's going to be a consistent check-in that we're going to need to do every week. And it's going to probably drive you a little bit crazy, but you should also kind of be excited for what's to come.
I mean, I am just naturally, change is exciting. Mm-hmm. I actually didn't know he said by no means. I didn't know he said by no means. Hold on 1 second. I got an alarm set for this podcast. I just turned it off.
You're fine. Yeah, no, he did. He said that he didn't mean it as slight towards.
Obviously it is, but it's nice to at least be a cordial about it and be like, oh, that's not what I mean. That's not what I mean. But I just don't know how you could not mean that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think a big part of it is Matthew Stafford. I think a reason why he's excited is because a lot of the burden and the pressure is kind of off of him, right? He knows that throughout the league, he's instilled an offensive philosophy that has lasted throughout a couple of different coaches and will potentially be passed on. And, I think that's something he's always going to be continuously pushing the envelope, but he needs somebody, iron sharpens iron, somebody that he could put in the room and give ideas to, and they could ingest it and have a, have an idea that they could utilize on the field in real time. So maybe that's what he didn't see in Goff, that he sees in Matthew Stafford, but it seems like he's excited and he's in a much better mood. He's all smiley. It's almost to the point where it's a little bit annoying how happy he's been. So,
yeah, I mean, that's the thing, right? It's just like, oh, you got to make do with your promise if you're going to be like, oh my God, like we're in such a better state right now, guys. Like, mm-hmm. trust me. It's like a million times better. I mean, to his credit, he has done a great job with this team. Part of the reason you could argue is because he had Jared Goff as quarterback, but some would argue the other way. So he's been good in spite of Goff versus he's good because of Goff. So, right. We'll see. I'm excited to see what happens. I mean, I don't know how you can't be. What I really liked was what Stafford was saying about his teammates. Because, you take everybody out of the equation and you just look at Matt Stafford as a quarterback. I mean, he's getting kind of older, but at the same time, like his knowledge and his IQ is going to just, help everybody on offense just kind of be better. It's like having like these players that we have that are like similar to coaches, like AD, Whitworth, Ramsey, just like, what are those things where it's like, hello, welcome to my class, where it's like a video essay of like Martin Scorsese and Danny DeVito being like, this is how to be an actor. That's what all these players have with Stafford, Ramsey, and all these other guys. So,
yeah, there's definitely a benefit to that. I want to leave everybody with one thing on Jared Goff and a reason why I think Sean McVay could be pretty happy. When I recently saw an article, I believe it was on CBS Sports, on pre-snap motion. Jared Goff was one of the worst quarterbacks with pre-snap motion. And Sean McVay has one of the most interesting sets of pre-snap motion concepts. So it could be a situation where maybe Jared had some misunderstandings within the offense and there was some confusion, which then led to some of his increased interception totals, to his fumble totals, right? Not being able to get rid of the ball at the right time or not throwing to the right person at the right time. So some statistics to leave. So you may ask, Jared Goff, McVay's former quarterback, managed to complete 152 of 237 passes for 1,500 yards, 669 air yards, 8 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, and a passer rating of 80. So in that same situation, Matthew Stafford's numbers have been better in pre-snap motion. So just something to take as a grain of salt. As to why Sean McVay, outside of all of the other stuff that's happening, right, the fans coming back, everything kind of opening up again, I think that's could be a reason why he's so happy. But let's talk about Matthew Stafford and his relationship with the teammates. We'll start with this guy here. What do you think? Sound good?
Yeah. That's what I was kind of alluding to a little bit.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I mean, Cooper Kupp is in a situation where, you know, he's going to be on a management plan with that bursitis in his knee. But Stafford called him one of the smartest guys he's ever played with. And he said he's an awesome speed cut runner, which is so damn true. You know, when you look at his game, he gets in and out of his breaks so quickly. And all the Rams receivers do, really. Some of them obviously can use some fine tuning, some of the younger guys. But in terms of cutting and picking up speed, that's like riding a bike uphill. Right. It's like, what was that street that we were just on? We had to ride the bike uphill.
Beverly Ave. Yeah.
Oh, my God. It was the most difficult bike ride. But being able to stop and start is extremely difficult. Cooper Kupp does it whenever he wants.
I mean, when I realized Kupp made a huge impact, obviously realized it sooner, but it was 2018 and I had rose colored glasses then. But last year when Belichick was like, yeah, he wasn't on the field when we faced them 2 years ago. And he's a huge piece of that offense. And he was, he was like Goff's like safety blanket. It was like Kupp's out there somewhere. You know what I mean? Like, in the Seattle playoff game, Goff underthrows Kupp. Kupp comes back on the ball and makes like a pull in catch with two defenders on him. He's one of the reasons why this offense has been so amazing these last couple of years. He's on a pitch count this year though, right?
Yeah, you can call it that. I think him and Terrell Lewis are in a similar camp with that knee, where it's just going to be a consistent management plan throughout the entire season. In some games, his snaps may be limited, right? And I think it kind of plays to some of the depth they have at the receiver position. So it's gonna be interesting to see. But Cooper Kupp, you could just tell the fan reaction. He's definitely beloved by the fans. And it seems like Matthew Stafford is kind of taking on to that. Cooper Kupp was also seen with a play chart. He's doing a little bit of coaching, too, when he was out. So it's pretty interesting to see all these players kind of come along. What Matthew Stafford said about Van Jefferson, I thought was really interesting. Just kind of considering the Rams' emphasis on creating mismatches down the field in the secondary by adding a number of weapons this offseason for Stafford. And he said he's doing a great job of doubling up people. And he's a really good separator, and he plays big, and he has a really nice size mismatch on a lot of corners out there. So don't sleep on Ben Jefferson. I feel like he's a player that, you know, if a third or fourth corner has to deal with him, you know, you're game planning for the DeSean Jacksons of the world to take the top off, and Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods on crossing routes, and Tutu Atwell in the slot, and you're forgetting about Van Jefferson, who's a player.
So. To be fair, also Munt and Higby, but again, there's one football, you know what I mean? Like, how many tools are needed in this, like, toy kit? Like, it scares me a little bit. I mean, especially with, like, DeSean. I don't know how much he's going to see the field. I would almost prefer Jefferson out there. Like, if they're doing the three set, I'd want Woods, Kupp, and Jefferson. Because he's in his second year now, too. You'd like to think that he would be able to be that like blow the top off kind of guy, but you know, they obviously didn't think he was, and that's why they went out and they got Deshaun. So,
well, I mean, if you're being honest about Deshaun Jackson, if he's healthy for 8 games in this regular season, it's somewhat of a blessing. If that's what you get out of him for the entire year, he's going to be another guy that's most likely on a pitch count. That's going to be difficult to manage. I think if you're in a 3-receiver set, like typical 11 personnel, you might be in a situation where you see those three guys on the field, but there could be some integration with Tutu Atwell, right? You could go two tight ends and then mix up those three receivers. So I think they're just going to have a lot of flexibility. And when you look at some of the teams that have top talent at the receiver position, right? You have a Travis Kelce and a Tyreek Hill and a Sammy Watkins. And then at Tampa Bay, you have Mike Evans and Antonio Brown, right? All this talent and Chris Godwin, right? So many players that can go up and get the ball and make a play for you on a 3rd and 17 or when you're behind 21 points. And it puts you in a solid situation. And not to mention Matthew Stafford, that plays from behind 21 points his whole career. So when you're in a position where you're down in a Buffalo game or you're down against Kansas City, maybe in the Super Bowl, God willing, you have confidence in a quarterback with a ton of weapons at his disposal, guys that can step up at any time. If guys go down, you know, it's kind of like if you look at the offensive line position, you almost wish they put that much emphasis into that as well.
Right. I mean, well, so, now that you don't have Jarrett and you don't have somebody that can be, you know, torn apart by like, you know, 3-man rushing, you don't have to worry so much about the offensive line. But that was always where I was like, why don't we just, you know, put more effort into this? But I mean, I don't know. Maybe Stafford's the guy that can kind of, you know, scramble a little bit more and break out of it and still make the play. And that's why we have all these weapons. So, you know, it could be the perfect match that they're thinking about. We'll see. You know, I'm still a little cautious, I'll say. I'm cautious to see it all work out as beautifully as they're trying to sell us on it right now. And it's such a big sell, especially with SoFi. Like if you see the accumulation of like how much they're trying to like get people to love the Rams and not, I mean, kind of the Chargers, but really the Rams. It's a lot like, and they have like the star power there, but you really got to capitalize if you're going to be as big and boisterous as you're presenting.
Right. Well, that's the situation that they're putting. I think they're putting themselves in a solid position to win. We'll get into some of the odds in the conference and division for the Super Bowl coming up. But I think they put themselves in a really, really solid position to be a successful franchise, at least for the next couple of years. You look at a guy I mentioned, we talked about Deshaun Jackson for a second. I don't know. I think that between him and Tutu Atwell, if Tutu Atwell can really kind of start to come along, we're not going to have to worry too much about Deshaun Jackson. But again, Matthew Stafford said all great things about their speed, Tutu Atwell being able to catch the ball away from his body, which
of course he's going to say nice things though. Like
I know, but again, I mean, it's not an easy skill to have, especially when you're catching the ball downfield. Deshaun Jackson is one of the best at it ever. So it's good to kind of have that mentorship. So, you know, he's been working with all of these guys now for about a month. He's been working with the offensive line. We've seen some stability in terms of what we're going to see with the starting offensive line, most likely Austin Corbett at center. So I think that's going to be something interesting to monitor as well. But who do you feel like is grabbing the most attention so far at camps? I think I would be crazy to say that it wasn't Jacob Harris. And right now it's like the month of Jacob Harris. So I don't know. What do you think?
Stafford, right? Like, don't take the room.
Well, I mean, Higby has been present, but he hasn't been practicing. But it definitely begs the question, right? Where's Bryson Hopkins, right? He's a 3rd-round pick last year, if I'm not mistaken. We haven't really heard one thing about him. I saw him flash in front of a video for 1 second. But Jacob Harris looks like he's going to be the guy that's going to go out and earn that second tight end job. And it depends on the formation and the personnel. I think Munt has a good chance.
I think
especially on rundown.
My money would be on Munt for sure.
In terms of the chart,
Well, I just think I think they're gonna want. He's the kind of guy that you're gonna want out there more often than, you know, just kind of like a big guy, especially if they're like blocking the run. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, and you have to think too. Like Munt's not somebody that's been in the offense for a long time, so he's gonna know, you know, the snap counts, and he's gonna know where he's got to block and where he's got to go. And those are things that rookies, especially as they fall later down in the draft, make mistakes on. So you can't afford a false start, and you can't afford a holding down the field. And that's one of the things that the Rams offensively put a lot of emphasis on, right, is being able to block downfield as a receiver. Jacob Harris is like me and you combined, so he shouldn't have any issues blocking.
I was thinking the same thing.
No, you weren't. You're probably thinking something totally different.
Correct.
What were you thinking? Let's hear it.
Me and you combined?
Yeah, it's more like Yao Ming.
Oh, like in what way?
I'm just saying he's huge. He's a big guy.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was like, my color and your stats, we'd be golden. We wouldn't need each other.
You're kind of right about that. you definitely wouldn't need me. I want to go back to, or I guess not really go back to, but we haven't really talked a ton about Raheem Morris. So apparently he was, you know, very active yesterday at the open practice. SJD described him as intense and intentional, which I thought was really awesome. And from everything we've read, he's very much of a player's coach. I want to dive into a little bit of comparison between Brandon Staley and Raheem Morris. I think there's a little nuance that we can kind of pick up on here just early on. But I think McVay likes him because he's a bit of a hard ass, really. I mean, he's not afraid to call players out. And at the same time, he'll like jump on the line of scrimmage and pretend he's a defensive lineman or he's rushing the passer. Like, he's one of those coaches, you know,
we've
all had him.
He's got big shoes to fill, this guy.
He's got the biggest shoes to fill. I think he's got a ton of energy, though, and it seems like his defense is going to be based on the personnel that we already have, obviously. But what worked last year while implementing, I think, some of his blitz packages and more man coverage, which is, you know, what he tended to do a little bit later towards last year, which helps. I mean, I think if you can rotate schemes, I think they're always kind of going to go with that two safety look. But with Brandon Staley, they were always lined up in that two safety look, and they lined up in a really light box. 83% of the plays, they lined up in a light box, which is the highest rate in the NFL. They were consistently lined up in those two safety looks, which allowed for a variety of coverages. You could change coverage out of those looks as well. So it's not just a standard quarter defense. You could be dominant, right, when you're able to kind of play zone and flip-flop and give the quarterback different looks. And it eliminates vulnerabilities within any other kind of typical zone, right? So it's almost impossible to move away from that. But I think some of the depth that they have at that position is going to allow for, you know, being able to strengthen the defensive line. I think the defensive line got stronger. So you'll have some coverage sacks as well. If your coverage downfield is really strong, you know, it'll give the pass rushers another second to go get the quarterback. So I think they have an opportunity to be a really, really disruptive defense. I think Raheem Morris, energy-wise, is the guy. I think he's opposite of Brandon Staley, but maybe Sean just wanted somebody that's just going to go back and forth with them. And I think that's who Raheem Morris is.
Yeah, they feel like the team, like if you ever played like intramural football or like flag football, mm-hmm. where it's like they have like the kids that come to coach that are like college-age kids, and mm-hmm. they're like all dressed up. And they're like hyping everybody up. And it's almost like it feels a little bit like a frat house. You know what I mean? So, you know, I'm not really I'm kind of holding my breath. I really liked what Brandon Staley brought to the table. This is one of the reasons why I think we were like at a worse situation from last year than we are this year. Yep. Yep. Because number one defense, you have nowhere to go but down unless you just stay consistent. And a lot of other teams have made some good defensive moves. I'm kind of nervous to see Arizona twice a year now because I think their defense just got way better. How could it have gotten better if we lost the man that was responsible? I mean, one of the, you know, Aaron Donald, obviously. I think it went they went Donald and then Staley, the two guys responsible. But now, you know, you're going to have to see some other guys pick up the slack, like particularly Ramsey, who played amazing last year. So there's no reason to think he would downgrade, but no, we'll see.
He won't. This time last year,
Morris was also on the Falcons, right? Isn't he coming from Atlanta, which was like one of the worst defenses? Falcons had to put up like 45 points to win games last year. So like, I'm not excited really to see, like, I'm more nervous. I mean, obviously I'm excited, but I'm, you know, it's more coming from a, it's the same with the offense. I'm not like, I'm not blown away by this Rebel Wilson Malibu house, you know, Showtime Rams yet. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not, I'm just not there.
Yeah, no, I get it. I think there's a reason to be concerned, especially when you bring in a brand new defense coordinator and it's like buddy-buddy really quick and everybody's all bought in.
Yeah, like, is he a yes man? Which is what I worry with McVay. Is he just surrounding himself with people that are just going to be like, oh, I love that idea, Sean.
I don't think so. What was really interesting on Peter Schrager's latest podcast, he had Zach Taylor and Matt. I don't think Matt LaFleur was on. It was just McVay and Zach Taylor. And McVay was like, oh, Matt LaFleur was always the guy that was up in the booth that was giving me a hard time or was talking in my ear or was pushing back on me. And obviously he went to take another job. And Zach Taylor was the complete opposite of that kind of guy. So you could be right. You could be in a room where there's a lot of people that are just kind of, you know, just letting Sean McVay be Sean McVay, right? They're not pushing back on any of his tactics or anything that he's preaching. And that's something you could tell, like, within that podcast when he was telling the story, Zach Taylor was telling the story that Sean McVay has a lot of control in that room. Like, he was shooting daggers at people that weren't paying attention or weren't taking notes. Like, he very much has a full command. And like you said, I think that ego may now be at a level that we've never seen before, but even in previous years, it's been there, man. It's always been there. So it's
as soon as he starts wearing aviators inside, I'm out. You got to win the Super Bowl before you start rocking aviators inside. What was that one thing that happened recently? It was like someone came up to him after the Lakers game and was like, 3 points in the Super Bowl. And he was like, why don't you come say that over here? And then he goes on to say in the interview, he's like, you know, I'm really happy he didn't come over because I would have probably like torn him apart. It just reminds me of like Quentin Tarantino. There's like this video of him at Sundance and somebody's like filming him and like asking him questions.
Oh,
and
yeah. I remember that.
Tarantino's like, well, you turn the camera off, huh? Turn the camera off. And I'll smack you up a little bit. And it's like, you're not that guy. You know what I mean? Like, McVay, you're the coach. Like, what was he, like 5'3"? I don't want him to... I know he's not 5'3", but it's just like, it's good to be humble is my point here. Like, I'm not trying to just like crap all over Sean McVay, but like, you know, it's good to have people around you that are telling you like, hey, that's not a good idea. That haircut does not look sick. You know what I mean?
Like, the mustache does not look good.
Yeah, well, to my point, it's good to have you here, though, because now I know when I go out tonight, I'll get rid of it.
Well, I'll tell you what, everybody that is in our Rams Brothers circle will probably give you a compliment. Probably mostly men, but
yeah,
it's okay.
Somebody recently said village people, and I was like, okay.
Not a compliment.
No, I mean, I don't think they said it as like a compliment, like a discompliment. Yeah.
I think if I were you, I would shave it tonight before you go out.
Yeah, not everybody has the glorious Dean beard.
Yeah, it's not that glorious. I just look like a child if I shave.
Or the Aaron Donald beard.
Oh, look at that. There you go. Yeah, Aaron Donald, same one. All right, cool. I wanted to transition over to some of the other – we both – the bobbleheads. Go to SoFi and get a bobblehead. They're great. There's a couple other notes I have within the mini camp that I just kind of wanted to go over. And a banjo. Oh, geez, man. What else you got over there? Cartman?
Yeah, I got a little LA Kings Cartman. Hopefully, I need to rearrange my room because the backdrop I'm looking at is super nice. And I have all these like trinkets over here, but like it doesn't work that way. I'll, you know, the more we do this, we'll get better cameras and we'll.
Yeah, I look like I'm in the Fresh Prince of Bel Air house where there's nobody around me anymore. It's like an empty home.
That was a good no, that was a good one. That was the best joke so far on the pod, and I've been trying to get him out there, but you won.
It's taken 80 episodes for me to make a good joke. There's another one we got too. Yeah. So what else happened in this mandatory mini camp? I keep doing the air quotes. Mandatory.
Well, a lot of people were late due to traffic, apparently.
Yesterday to the open practice. AD has been absent the whole time. I think he's probably training back in Pittsburgh. I know SJD took a couple of
He's the guy where it's like, oh, Aaron Donald, he wants to do this. all right, go do you, bro. You know what I mean? Like he yeah. will, he, yeah. he had, he's just that kind of dude who he has that drive and that commitment. Yeah, it's just,
well, it's everybody knows he's going to get the job done. I don't, and Jalen Ramsey's there though. I mean, it seems like he doesn't kind of go in that path, but he also lives in LA. I don't know if Aaron Donald has another home in Pittsburgh, probably does, that he goes back to.
I wonder if these guys live in the South Bay because it's just so close to the Inglewood area. That I mean, like, that's where I would station up if I was one of these players.
They absolutely you know what I mean? May. Well, I would too. If it's that, it is really close to the stadium.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah. What else did we see? Bobby Brown and A'shaun were getting some work in earlier this week. It's cool to hear that A'shaun has been working on his bod and has been getting leaner and more explosive for the good of the team. I think that's a good commitment to make as a very you know very heavy depth with that defensive line to be able to be a little bit leaner, more nimble, healthier throughout the rest of the season. I think he had a heart condition, which he was afraid made him susceptible to COVID last year, which is why he was out like 8 to 10 games. So to see him healthy, that defense line is going to be really productive. And then Bobby Brown, it's like Aaron Donald's, you know, baby brother right now, is just getting some work in to work with those veterans and get some advice, I think is really solid. And then interesting to hear too, David Long Jr. getting snaps in place of Darius Williams, who wasn't there for the first couple of days. I thought that role would eventually transition to Robert Rochelle, and it very well may, aka Jalen Ramsey 2.0, according to analytics. Take that for what you will. But I want to see how this plays out. I think personally, David Long Jr.
Yeah, both of us are in that yeah. In that David Long for the nickel role. I think it would be the best fit.
Yeah, and that's assuming Darius Williams is on the field, right? So
right.
I think that, you know, from a defensive back perspective, they're going to be fine. 1-2 punch, Jalen Ramsey and Darius Williams. And then you'll have some other guys kind of rotate in. I'm wondering who the signal caller is going to be, because I read some stuff on Taylor Rapp and how Raheem Morris and Taylor Rapp are really starting to get along. So I'm wondering if, you know, Jordan Fuller takes that role, or if they're going to find an interesting way to utilize Taylor Rapp as like a hybrid defensive back role, which is kind of what they did in his first year. And he was pretty successful.
I think he played better that year.
Yeah, I'm wondering if they're going to come up with a couple creative ways to get some backs on the field.
Taylor Rapp is almost should we just put him in special teams? You know what I mean? It's like he's just like one of those guys that's just kind of like wants to be everywhere at all the time. And it's just kind of like it's like he needs to be doing his own thing. He's not good when he's like followed. Like he would be horrible on the Patriots. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know. It seems like last year Brandon Staley was almost right. Well, Taylor Rapp was also dealing with injuries last year.
A lot. Yeah, he was.
A lot of injuries. But it almost felt like when he was healthy, he was kind of in that, like, you know, third, fourth tier, potentially could get some snaps on special teams, on punt coverage. But I don't think he is.
I wonder how much of that was actually due to injury.
Yeah, I mean, he's a player they took in the second round. I think, you know, coming out.
So is Cam Akers. Like, I don't think that's an excuse. And I don't think they allow that to be an excuse. You know what I mean? Like,
I'm saying it's a reason that he should be on the field.
Oh, yeah.
I think if he's making some solid progression, there's no reason to keep him off the field.
Yeah.
And he fits into to Morris's new scheme. I'm so used to saying Staley's scheme.
I know. I mean, what's funny is, like, he's going to be at the same. You know what I mean? And I'm sure all the Chargers fans are going to be able just to throw that out there. The other people on the LAFB.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned Cam Akers. And before we talk about Cam Akers potentially taking over the workhorse role, how about Brewery X?
Oh, yeah. Brewery,
what were you going to say? Go ahead.
I'm just so excited for Cam Akers, but I'll just run through this real fast. Brewery X, independent craft beer company located in Anaheim. Did you want to do this ad?
No, you could do it.
You seemed like you're like, oh. Located in the LA Palm Beer Trail, founded in 2018, the Brewery X represents and is all about crossing paths, coming to a juncture and ending up where you want to be. We have been drinking this beer all weekend. It's honestly amazing. Their Pilsner is really good. Dean, I mean, you know, he was here and we were just, you know, having a little taste party, getting all those beer tastes, and num, just all in our mouths. It was great.
Yeah, it was good. Well, thank you to Ryan, obviously our boss, El Capo, Ryan, who was able to provide us with a ton of different pilsners and seltzers and, you know, every kind of beer that you can think of. And we were able to try everything. So super thankful for that. And they have over
the slap and tickle. The slap and tickle is really good. They got one with like a snake on it. That's their pilsner. That one's really good. Haven't had the hard seltzers yet, but get back to me after tonight and I'll be able to. They're 10% hard seltzers, which is pretty rad.
Yeah, there was another one that I really liked that I'll have to drop on the next episode. But over 30 beers, 10 hard seltzers, curbside pickup 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. Open every day, 11 a.m. to midnight. And the link for online orders will be in the description of this episode. So check them out. The beer's good. Slap and tickle.
Yeah, a little beer fest for you.
Yeah, beer fest. All right.
He did the...
I tried. All right. Cam Akers taking on the workhorse role. Nick, are you concerned? Are you confident?
I'm just like, remember last year when Akers opened up as the starter and then got banged up in week two in Philly, and then they still were able to dominate Philly with Henderson. He missed the next 2 weeks in Buffalo, or when they played Buffalo and when they played New York, and then two more weeks against San Francisco and Chicago. Really could have used him in San Francisco.
Yeah.
But he ended up with an average of 15 carries per game over the last 8 games he played. He averaged 4.3 carries per carry, 4.3 per carry. I just think he showed that if he can stay healthy, and as much as I love Darrell Henderson, there's no reason to not have him on the field every single snap. And it's just the same way I felt with Gurley. And he was such a huge factor of that team. And I felt like that was one of the reasons why these last couple of years Goff struggled, because Gurley wasn't either 100% or he just wasn't on the team. And I remember, after that Philly game without Cam, he wasn't really who he is now, but it was definitely a hit. I remember thinking Hendo was going to be more the big guy, like the number one guy, but it's definitely like it's going to be Cam 100%. And that's what I want to see. And I'm just thinking back to that Patriots game, man, where like he was the whole difference on that game.
If you had
that scheme in the Super Bowl, it's just a whole different game.
I know. I think you had 29 carries.
I really didn't want to say, but I had to say it.
That's okay. Think about Todd Gurley. Why could he stay on the field for 3 downs when he was healthy? Because he could pass protect. That's exactly why. I think that that's going to be something they're going to be working on between him and Darrell Henderson. And the way for Darrell Henderson to get on the field is to learn how to pass protect, because we know he can catch the ball out of the backfield and he can run through whatever hole. He's so quick to get into the second level, but can they pass protect? I saw, according to Jordan Rodrigue, who obviously is the best, as we all know, one of her latest articles from The Athletic, Akers was spending some extra time with running backs coach / assistant coach Thomas Brown before minicamp earlier this week. They're working on technical points similar to blocking, pass protection, demonstrating certain hand foot placements. And that's the only way for the modern running back to stay on the field right now for 3 downs. If you can't pass protect, maybe you could do 2 or 3 of those things. You could pass protect and you could run the ball, but you can't pass catch. You're not going to be on the field for 3 downs. So if Cam Akers can figure out a way really for his body to get through an entire season being a 3 down back, getting 250 touches, is going to be a hell of a workload. But also at the same time, the modern NFL running back, this is the prime to use them. This is the time to let them go. The sophomore running backs this year are so talented. From a fantasy football perspective, those are going to be the guys at the top of the draft. And Cam Akers is going to be right there. So it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to see what he's got. Just for like fantasy purposes, though, I feel like the Rams are always just so dodgy because of all the weapons. Hendo was not the 1 yard guy? Am I like misremembering that? I feel like Hendo was like the guy they kind of punched it in with.
Well, they used the combination of Malcolm Brown.
Brown. Oh my God, Malcolm Brown. That's who I'm thinking of. Yeah.
Miami Dolphins, Malcolm Brown.
Right. Yeah, that's going to be tough, but good for him. That's a great team. I think he'll do great there. Dark horse candidate for landing Rodgers is Miami.
Okay. Yeah. Well, if I was Miami, I would trade Tua and 2 firsts for
And I think they have the most to give to them too.
But that's neither
here nor there. You got to pass your tech. I would love to move on to a little somewhat nitpick segment, if you will, which is the odds of the division, conference, and the Super Bowl. And I want to kind of get your reads on this, brother.
All right. Go for it.
Brother.
I'm
burdened with glorious purpose right here with all this information.
Oh, wait, hold on. How was Loki?
Oh, my God. Yeah, oh, my God. It just amplified more so that the Loki Thor relationship is the closest thing to film that you and I share.
Yeah, I would say so.
So
me obviously playing the role of Thor.
Yes. I didn't even think it needed to be stated. It was so obvious.
it's the mustache, dude. I'm telling you.
Yeah, it's because I'm an illusionist. I'm a villain, the magician. all right, so let's just get into this before I just do a full Loki review. 9 out of 10, maybe even a 10. Great pilot, great pilot episode.
Okay. Pass.
So which is this is so shocking to me. The Niners are currently the favorite to win the division. The Rams are second at Niners plus 185. Rams are second at plus 190 to show you how close it is. Seattle is third at plus 275, and Arizona is fourth at plus 600.
Yeah.
To me, you make your money there. You do two hefty bets on the Rams and one on Seattle. That way your kind of bases are both covered because Seattle could easily win the division. Who are the Niners going to start? So like, I don't know how they're. I have no idea how they're favored in it. That makes me think Vegas knows something that I don't, and it kind of
they might
worried.
Here's the thing too. Tarvarius Moore and Justin Skule both were sidelined with injuries earlier this week. Moore went down in practice this past Monday with a torn Achilles, and Skule tore his ACL. So both of those guys are presumably out for the season. And they also lost Jeff Wilson Jr. for 4 to 6 months due to a torn meniscus. So they're still the favorite to win the division after those three injuries. Maybe Vegas knows something that we don't. Trey Lance could come out and dazzle the world.
I don't see it.
They beat us last year with Blaine Gabbert.
Yeah, I know. They have our number, but they got to worry about the other games of the year. They're not good against Seattle. They regularly lose to the Cardinals, and they got to get through all the injuries. So I'm not sold on them at all. I think they maybe make the playoffs, a wild card team.
Ooh, their first game's against the Lions. That's a must watch.
Oh wow,
in Detroit.
In Detroit. Oh, that's a must watch.
Must watch. All right, 49ers in Philly is week two, also must watch. And then Green Bay in 49ers. All right, so they'll be 2-1.
They lost to Philly last year, so.
I just don't want to see them start 10-0 again or whatever they started in 2019. It's nauseating.
You know what it is? Why Vegas probably has those odds? It's probably because they have an easy record.
Easy schedule.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to the conference. Bucks. Plus 325, Rams plus 600, the second favorite team. Niners, but now the Niners are behind them to win the conference at plus 625. So that's weird.
Weird.
Packers plus 800, Seahawks plus 110. Do not buy Packers stock right now. That is going to decline. It's crazy that three teams in the NFC West are like the top six to win the conference. It's annoying.
I feel really good being the second best team to win the conference.
Yeah.
You have to.
Yeah. All right. So then let's move. Yeah. I mean, you should. It's just weird because it's like the division. They're not even going to win the division, but they're going
to win. I know. But I'm just saying, in June, if your goal is to get back to the Super Bowl and you're second favorite behind Tom Brady, and who knows what's going to happen to that roster? Bringing back all 21 starters, 22 starters.
I don't think they're going to have what it takes this year. That's my bold Tampa Bay take. I think they're.
When we played them, I didn't think they had what it took.
They got lucky that they didn't have to play us, and they played Green Bay. Honestly, that's my honest opinion. Green Bay got to play us without a healthy AD. So,
Yeah, I think that defense, for one of the first times in his career, confused the shit out of Tom Brady.
So, yeah. All right.
They can replicate. Go ahead.
So moving on to the Super Bowl. Chiefs are plus 500. Not a good bet. Tampa Bay plus 650. Never a bad call to bet on Tom Brady, TBH. Bills plus 1,200. Rams at 4 plus 1,300. So if you bet 100 bucks, you win 1,300. And then Ravens behind them, which is a sneaky team. See, like, out of those, all those teams, I like the Ravens, I like the Bills, and I like the Rams. I don't think we're going to have a repeat Super Bowl with the Chiefs or with the Bucks. I think the Bucks were lucky to be there, honestly. And I would hate to see it, and that's just my opinion.
It just seems impossible to count those two teams out.
Yeah. Right. I mean, yeah.
It does, and especially right now. You know, those live odds are going to change. You know, something happens to Mahomes. You know, the Bucs lose a key starting defender. You know, all of a sudden things change. So we'll see. Yeah. But I don't know. Again, third, fourth favorite to win the Super Bowl in June. Man, how could you not be excited?
Well, I mean, my excitement is kind of like at a place where it's like, pull back. Like, we're in the third favorite to win the Super Bowl. We got a new quarterback. McVay is grinning ear to ear as his ego expands. Like, I just want to, like, I have to temper my expectations, because right now it's like Super Bowl. It's like NFC Championship or Super Bowl. And if you don't make it to either of those two, you had an unsuccessful season. And that's just, you know, that's the reality that we're living in right now. And it's kind of, it's tough. I'm not I expected that for the last 2 years now, and because we went 3 years ago, and now it's like, well, I don't want to feel that way anymore. I don't want to have my heart broken in these playoffs.
So the only way you will be okay again as a man is if they go out and win the Super Bowl.
There's nothing to do with my manhood.
I know.
Okay, as a man.
I'm just kidding.
Speaking of man, Manscaped's new product. No, I'm just kidding. But we should work on better transitions.
You want to write the script?
Yeah, I could write it. I could write the transition beats. Speaking of transitions, Garrison Brothers. I have to tell you guys about Garrison Brothers. They are a family of bourbon makers and bourbon lovers, fully committed to proving that the finest bourbon whiskey on the planet will be born in Texas Hill County. They take great pride in that. It's pretty freaking good. We had it when we were sipping on the beers. We had a fun little weekend, SoFi, and pick up basketball, and ending with a little nightcap of Garrison Brothers. They have a small batch, single barrel bourbon that's really good. That's what we were drinking. And it was just fantastic. And you can buy it online at Garrison Brothers, GarrisonBros.com, or visit your nearest location, store location. You can look it up. It's kind of cool to have a brother
sponsorship.
Of the Rams brothers, bros, Loki, yeah, bros,
and Rams
bros. Odinson bros, Mario bros. You know, we got it all up in here in the Rams.
We're at the very bottom of that list.
So let me wait, it's the wrong side. Let me just drop some little tidbits of like insider information.
All right,
the New Jersey, you heard it here first, it's going to be yellow.
Okay. Is there any other information you can provide to us on that?
I think it comes with the blue swoosh on the shoulder. I don't quote me on that, but it's yellow. We're going to have a yellow one drop soon. And I, you know, hopefully they wear it fairly often. And then that's when you buy your yellow Donald jersey. That's what I'm holding out, buying a jersey.
Oh, I would go number 5 Ramsey. How about the number change? Number 5, Jalen Ramsey. I think every number aside from now 3, it was 1 through 9, was taken. And now Akers went from 3 to 23.
So now I know that there's a couple idiots out there who have bought. I mean, they're not idiots. They just look like fools in comparison. But no, they bought the Akers 3 jersey. It was available at SoFi.
He's going to change next year.
Yeah, but I don't want to wear. That's like me all year if I wore a LeBron 6 jersey. Like, I'm not going to wear that. I'm not going to wear until next year when he's actually wearing the number.
You would be one of the first to wear the number. You're like an exclusive buyer.
It's just like the stock of the jersey will rise. Like, I have a 17. I have a 17 Woods jersey. What am I going to do with that? Just wear it like a fool? Or am I going to?
Just wear it normal,
I guess.
It's a player that wore number for the probably the best part of his career. Definitely the, you know, it's the peak of his career as he's transitioning from Buffalo to the Rams.
Pass. Yeah, pass. I just like the 16. I like the 16 to 17. But I guess 9 to 10 now will be cool.
Yeah.
9 throws it to 10. Touchdown, LA.
See? Now you're looking at it like I am.
Yeah, Mr. Stat Padford as our QB. Whatever.
Stat Padford. I have some notes from yesterday, the open practice that I want to share from Eric Litzer. He's our insider.
Oh, I love Eric.
Wrote an amazing article today on the draft picks. And Eric, we thank you for the support. You're the man. He's one of our writers, and he gave us some insider scoop if you weren't at the open practice yesterday. A lot of you guys probably saw this in person if you were there. But Jacob Harris, I know we talked about him already. Eric says he's a man-child towering over the skill group. He's so, so tall. He's still so raw, meaning his routes need polishing. He dropped
tall and raw.
He dropped. So this is something that I don't know if a lot of Rams fans caught. He dropped a pass in traffic over the middle with contact. It was a good defensive breakup, but he does catch the ball with strong hands. His athleticism is eye-opening, and he caught a beautiful touchdown in seven on seven on a route that he ran down the field on an out route. That was impressive. So Jacob Harris, he's not a finished product by any means, but I think McVay is really starting to come on to his upside. I think, you know, having a package where he's on the field and you can kind of throw up to him or use him as a decoy is going to work to our advantage. So 2-2 Atwell. Nick, I know your favorite player is 2-2, right?
Incorrect.
Yeah, 2-2 used his athleticism to go vertical, high pointing a ball. He had no business catching, which I think is kind of cool to know. Even with contact, he held on. And it's I think it's in one of the Twitter videos that Eric shared. And he definitely has this raw route running crispiness to him. He dropped a punt. He dropped a punt during special teams practice that the punt team easily recovered. You're freaking out already. Well, Simba Webster is still on the roster, but also he gives you that kind of, oh God, too. So
I don't know what it is. It's like the fossil curse. It's like ever since he left, special teams has just been like so scary and like never up to snuff. And I don't know why we ever got rid of him. Honestly, I love fossil. So I'm just scared to see what's coming. Also, like Hecker last year, Hecker's like a focal point in like, oh, like this is one of our like captains, one of our guys, Johnny Hecker. He really had a down year last year. So
he did.
So if Tutu's out there dropping punts, I'm going to cry. You know what I mean? Like, I just can't. I can't handle it.
Yeah, Eric actually.
Your manhood is in question, you know.
Eric actually had the opportunity to speak with Joe D yesterday as he walked out of the stadium. Joe D, our special teams coordinator. And during the conversation.
Joey D. Isn't he a Paisan? Is he a Paisan?
D. Camillus? Nah.
D. Camillus Ziano? D. Camilliano? He's a Paisan. No, Joey D.
Yeah, no, he D. Camillus Zio. No. But he said he loves Matt Gay was the insight I got.
Oh, who doesn't?
Gay's
gonna have to change his number, right?
Tweety Monster, is that his Twitter handle?
Something. Yeah, Tweety is Monster. Tweety Monster?
I think he did something like that. I think he did change his number. But yeah, no, I think Joe D, that special teams group is something that we just assume is going to get better. Right. And Tutu Atwell doesn't have a ton of experience.
I think that's where the most room for improvement lies from last year. It's if our special teams can, you know, raise the bar, because they were by far the worst part of our team, you know, good in three parts. We were good in two parts. There was like one game. I think it was the Tampa Bay game where all three parts of the team were operating. And that was like the only game.
That game
and the New England game. Yeah.
I agree with you. That game, we were like sitting comfortably. Yeah. Some stuff on Stafford and Wolford, your guy. Neither Stafford.
Coach's son, Johnny Wolford.
Yeah, neither Stafford nor Wolford participated in 7-on-7. But during one-on-one drills, Stafford's ball is rocket on top of rocket. And this is from Eric. Deep balls to Jackson and Jefferson, which were both on Twitter, were with ease and absolutely on point. He felt like Stafford's very much a perfectionist. Eric was reading his body language and felt like after he made a mistake, he was very much down on himself and wanted to make himself better and learn from the mistake. So I feel like he's just that kind of guy. Eric also said that he's a man's man. He's just a guy that everybody kind of gravitates to. He's totally confident. He's extraordinarily humble. I think you saw him walk through the tunnel.
And very handsome.
Sign everybody's autograph. Pretty good looking guy.
He looks like Elon Musk.
Yeah, well, Elon's made a name with that face, I'd say. What do you think? No?
No, yeah, he has. He has.
The stadium itself welcomed 35,000, I think Isaac Bruce said.
It's so cool. It's so cool when you walk in that stadium, how it's just like underground. It's like you walk in on like, you know, floor level and it's just, it goes down. It's just like, it's, that place is a, it's really a beauty. Cannot wait to go to a game there. It's going to be hard not to go to week one, honestly, but
it's one of the most ridiculous things I've ever seen in person. Apparently the Wi-Fi wasn't working good yesterday and Eric was pissed about the Wi-Fi, as were a number of people.
Oh, really?
They advertised us that the Wi-Fi was like incredible.
That was one of the focal points. They bring you to like a place where you can like look at all the servers and it's like, we have excellent Wi-Fi.
Yeah. I think the one thing we couldn't get a gauge on was the emphasis of the crowd, right, within a game. I think that was Eric kind of touched on. He said, you could tell the way that that stadium's built, and I was actually talking to our cousin Rafe about this, the way that it's structured, right? It's not like a big open bowl. It's very much, you know, like more of a, I don't really
it's
know.
Like, how to explain it's it. Like, here's the land. Here's like surface level of Earth. It's like this.
Yes, exactly. We're explaining something visually, trying to illustrate it on camera. But I don't know if the people that are listening. You kind of have to see it, but it's not. It's very the complete opposite of the Coliseum. You know, it feels so different.
Different energy.
The sound is going to be able to echo off of the walls in that stadium, and also because it's indoor outdoor, that crowd is just going to roar to the top of the stadium. It's going to be really fun. So. The stadium looks amazing. What other things are you curious about with the open practice? Do you hear anything that you had questions on?
I mean, I just thought it was cool. I didn't love it because it was another one of those things where it's like showboating. You know what I mean? Like, I understand because it's SoFi and because they want to show the new stadium, but like it was like a show. You know what I mean? Where it's like it's a practice. It doesn't have to be a show. Like it's something New England would never do. You know what I mean? And I think that's a good. I mean, that's like the blueprint. As much as I hate them, you know, it's California football. It's going to be different. It's going to be loud. It's going to be aggressive. It's going to have the worst logo possible that just says LA. You know, it's just bad. It is what it is. It's okay. No. I just don't. I'm not here for stuff like that. You know what I mean? I'm here to watch football games. I don't want to watch you practice. I'll go to a preseason game, but that's different. You know what I mean?
Well, that's
sorry. I'm not trying to be cynical. You know what I mean? It's just how it is.
The Rams do not pay our salaries. So to tell the truth, that's how it should be. If you feel like it was an extravagant event, you feel like it was unnecessary. That's fine. I do think it was cool to the point where
surface level it's rad, yeah,
and tailgate, right? Do I think it was something they would ever do in New England? No, but I feel like Sean McVay is trying to become somebody who obviously thinks he's the smartest guy in the world, but somebody who can adapt to past philosophies, add on some of his modern takes and spins, right? Have a draft house, have an open practice, make it a big extravagant event, go on Jimmy Kimmel. Pearly whites, you know,
it's
different.
It's when you care too much about that stuff is when you start having real problems. You know what I mean?
I try to look at it, and this may be a crazy analogy, but you know, there was Jordan who was just focused on winning, didn't care about anything else, wanted to make everybody his enemy. And then there was LeBron who's happy-go-lucky, friends with everybody. And I know that this is a very Rams fan-centric way of looking at it, but I feel like that's kind of the dynamic between those two guys. Am I crazy there to say that?
No, and I don't hate it. I don't hate that. LeBron has done so much for the community and, you know, like just for like people in difficult situations that McVay is not doing with the wealth. Well, I mean, but like, look, if you're going to compare him, that's just like Goff was doing stuff like that. And that was one of the reasons why I really liked him too. He really cared about his community. He was like, I'm going to do all this stuff to like help out the people that are in my inclusive area. Now that he's in Detroit, he's still doing it, which is commendable. And with that touch of fame, people are going to start not liking you when you're not giving anything back and you're just soaking in all the glory. Yeah. And I think it's always just good to be humble. It's just a regular human being, relatable. I mean, like, you know, that's just one of the things that I admire in somebody else, regardless of your status.
I don't know if I could call Sean McVay relatable right now.
No, and he's definitely not humble either.
Yeah, he's like, I don't know. It just feels
like he's gallivanting like he had won that Super Bowl in 2018. You know what I mean? Or like not even that he won it, but like, oh, if I didn't have Jared Goff, I would have won.
Well, if he did win, like,
that's the energy. If he did, then I wouldn't be I wouldn't be here as upset.
Well, I was going to say we would be so damn excited for this season that nothing would matter.
I would think
that we were going to walk to the Super Bowl.
I would be okay with the Goff trade. Like, he already etched his stitching in at that point. You know what I mean? Like, it would be a whole different philosophy. It'd be like when they got rid of Kurt Warner.
Are you sure you'd be happy about that? If they
got I wouldn't be happy about it, but it would be an easier pill to swallow because at least he like etched out his. I would feel the same way, especially if it's Stafford. Like, but that's the thing. It's like if they would have got Rodgers or Deshaun or, you know, I know Lamar's not available, but somebody like that, it's a whole different feeling that you have when you dump Goff. But now that when you go out and get somebody who's similar skill set, you know, I mean, I know he didn't have the same weapons. So it's just time. It's prove it time. It's nut up or shut up. And it's like a lot of like fanfare before we get there. And that's the kind of stuff that's just going to drive somebody like me. Just like, stop. Like, let's just, you know, I mean, I know you can't make the schedule, like the games come faster, but.
Well, the thing that I think is commendable about you is you'll accept defeat, but, you know, you'll still carry on with your opinion. You know, if it's not the right opinion.
Yeah, no, I mean, you have to admit that you're wrong because everybody's wrong all the time. It's the people that can't admit that they're wrong. Right.
That to me is relatable. When Sean McVay comes up in front of, you know, in front of the media and tells a bold-faced lie about an injury or a play call or something, it's like, we can't relate, but I feel like, you know, you do a good job of doing that if you're wrong.
Or
if
I'm wrong. Get me up there.
I'm just a bad loser, as you know.
So. Yeah. 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 I beat Dean in a par three this weekend and he threw out the scorecard.
Yeah. I know our guy Tucker Booth goes and plays that course in Manhattan Beach. It's awesome.
What did we shoot? It was like 35, 36, something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe like 36, 37.
Don't remind me.
Not my PR on that course. It's also a par three, so.
Bad golf. Also, you got to remember, I was the one traveling and using the foreign clubs, so.
Right. But, you know, that sounds like an excuse, and we know who makes excuses. Losers. Losers make excuses. All right.
We won't get into it.
I can't believe we took up a full hour. Well done. Thanks for listening, everybody. The first video podcast. Thanks for watching. If you watch and you get to look at us hunks, or maybe we're just on the background at work. But
that's cool too.
Yeah, either way, appreciate it. Follow Rams Brothers on Twitter, LAFB Network. More to come, guys. Going to have a great season. Can't wait to see some of you guys at tailgates and everything. It's going to be so much fun. Can't wait.
First time on video. We'll be on YouTube. We'll be on Spotify. We'll be wherever you guys get your podcasts. But this is the start. And then merchandise and whatever else the hell you guys
ask. Yeah, if you want free merch, just tweet at me. Tweet hashtag Rayman for Smash. I'm very serious, Nick. All in a hashtag. And then another hashtag that says hashtag Rayman for Smash.
That's going to be in the DMs, though. We don't want to see that on the timeline.
No. Incorrect. I would love to see it on the timeline.
Too much.
No.
Too
much. I love it.
All right, we'll see.
I love how there's a community of Rams fans that are also Smash Brothers fans. And we're going to get a new character revealed on your birthday, because that's when E3 is, believe it or not.
Oh, what a fantastic birthday present.
Birthday present, yeah. Remember that one year we unlocked Dr. Mario in Melee on Dad's birthday, and we said it was his birthday gift?
Yeah, that was funny. We were like 8, though.
Yeah.
That was still funny.
Yeah.
Good memory. Like, unlocked memory.
He was like, oh, thanks. we should get him on next time. That would be fun.
I don't know if he'll last on the video. He may be like twitching all over the place.
He's such a... I mean, he's not even a boomer. I was going to say boomer. He's like
He's the best. He would kill it. But anyway, thanks, guys, for listening. I appreciate all you guys on Twitter, on social media. Give us a follow. We'll follow you guys back. Meeting you guys in person is going to be friggin' awesome. I know that we're just at SoFi. We got to meet a couple of fans. Put some names to faces and vice versa. And it's just going to be a lot of fun. So hang with us, and more to come.
Yeah. Horns up, baby.
Thanks, guys. Horns
up. Vamos Rams.
Peace.